Walk into a local oyster bar, and chances are there will be at least two species on the menu.
Virginicas, Pacific oysters, Olympia oysters, Kumamotos, and then European flats, also known as balans.
Salmon may be synonymous with the Pacific Northwest, but oysters are equally tied to our region's identity. But there was a time when oysters here were in serious trouble and were on the brink of collapse, until a Japanese immigrant helped turn things around. From KUOW's City of Dreams team, Ruby DeLuna reports.
My name is Jerry Yamashita. How old am I? 95?
Right.
Old age.
I'm Patrick Yamashita, and I am Jerry Yamashita's son.
Patrick is looking at old family photos at Jerry's house in Seattle's Eastlake neighborhood. One of the photos is Jerry's father, Masahide, who came to Seattle from Japan in 1902.
He was only 19 years old. And I think he came here in part because he didn't want to get drafted into the army in Japan.
Patrick's grandfather got into the import-export business.
He imported pearls from Japan at one time, watch crystals from Japan. He exported motorcycles from New York to Japan before World War II, believe it or not.
But none of those really stuck. Eventually, he started to import baby oysters from Japan. In the early 1900s, Olympia oysters, native to the region, were in near decline. The culprit? Overharvesting and pollution, says Shelley Solomon, a biologist and filmmaker.
And the pollution was related to the pulp and paper industry. And at that time, though, there were soft laws with regards to effluent in the creation of pulp and paper. So this toxic effluent, they just couldn't survive.
Solomon and her husband, Kent Cornwall, made a documentary called Ebb and Flow. The film tells the story of the Yamashita family's role in saving the West Coast oyster. Solomon says the industry tried bringing in East Coast oysters, but those didn't survive.
And some Japanese people in Pike Place Market said, you know, maybe we could bring in some from where we lived in Japan.
They brought small quantities of adult oysters from Japan, but those didn't survive either. They were about to abandon that idea until they noticed the babies or seeds attached to the shells were living. Still, the travel time from Japan was a major hurdle. That's when they approached Masahide Yamashita for his import-export know-how.
He said, well, I can move the ships around and I can get them right directly to where they were growing them. And so that saved a lot of time and a lot of effort.
And then he had a special way of trying to preserve the seed on the ships. I think the seed were placed in wooden boxes and then covered with straw or rice mats, and then they'd pour the seawater on top.
Patrick Yamashita says the boxes were hydrated with seawater throughout the journey, and that kept the seeds viable. His grandfather also formed a cooperative with the Japanese farmers that helped set consistent pricing. Between 1930 and 1938, Masahide sold thousands of cases of Japanese oyster seeds to Northwest Shellfish farmers. They thrived.
I think it found its new home. So much so that most people nowadays think that the oyster that has always grown here. But actually, it originally came from Japan.
Masahide stopped selling seeds and got into the shellfish business himself with his son Jerry, who was then 19 years old. The family was leasing tidelands to grow oysters. They were building their business when World War II broke out. Life as they knew it would turn upside down. Jerry remembers one time trying to stop a man from stealing oysters from the tideland where his family was growing them.
I said, all these oysters are our oysters. We planted them so that we could harvest them. And the man says, well, you're not going to be around here very much longer anyway.
It would be an ominous foreshadowing. Masahide's connections to Japan through his import-export business made him a target.
There were some FBI agents that showed up to where my dad's family were. And they showed up a couple times. And eventually, the FBI took my grandfather to a camp in Montana.
The rest of the family tried to cope without Masahide, not knowing when they'd see him again. Later, the Yamashitas, along with more than 100,000 Japanese Americans, were forcibly removed. The family was sent to Tule Lake, California, where they were incarcerated for 3.5 years. After the war, the Yamashita family returned home to Washington State. Not everyone welcomed them.
There were signs on businesses, no jobs. So it was very challenging, but at the same time, there were very kind people. There was a neighbor that brought, I think, dahlia bulbs for flowers and something else just to say, welcome.
The family tried to return to oyster farming. Fortunately, before they were sent away, some friends had looked out for them by taking care of their seeds.
And they said that they would plant the seed on their own ground so that when you come back, why, we'd have the oysters for you.
Also, after the war, the Japanese oyster that became the main variety on the West Coast was renamed Pacific Oyster. After 76 years in the business, Jerry Yamashita retired. Patrick and his siblings stay involved in the shellfish industry by leasing out their tidelands.
So I often go out and I harvest oysters and I share them with friends and family, and it gives me great pleasure to be able to share of what we have. And that's what Mom and Dad have always done as well.
Patrick says oysters have much more meaning. They remind him of his grandfather's contribution to making oysters what they are today. I'm Ruby DeLuna, KUOW News.
There's nothing better than oysters.